gas prices are up, and President Biden is taking heat.
Madam Speaker, Americans are seething over the price of gas every time they visit the pump.
You're paying more for everything.
I mean, the problem is, regardless how you feel politically, numbers, facts, and data do not lie, and that's something that I think this administration has yet to learn.
Americans have not seen gas prices this high since the Obama-Biden administration. Do we see a pattern here?
Now, that criticism is expected, but as Politico's Ben LaFave reports, it's not necessarily warranted beyond everyday politics.
If you go back through political history, I mean, the party in power always takes the blame for increasing oil costs or gasoline costs. The party out of power always likes to throw the dirt. Doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. It's just kind of seen as a political sledgehammer to use. You know, as soon as oil prices go up more than a dollar, folks will start hammering the party in power.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today,
all right, I've got the recorder on and going.
Ben LaFave on why gas prices are up and what it means for Biden.
Gas prices have hit like highs last seen in 2014. Basically, the price for a gallon of regular, I think the national average today is about $3.40. That is about $1.20 higher than it was a year ago. So as people have mentioned, the clearest sign that U.S. voters have of inflation is pretty much what the numbers are at the gas pump or, you know, the sign at the corner by the gas station are on any given day.
That sort of gets into my next question here. I mean, what exactly is behind this rise? Is this like purely connected to some of the inflation issues we've seen going on sort of across the economy as things have opened up, or is something else going on here? I don't really know much about the way gas works aside from like putting it into my car. What's behind this?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, energy prices are one of the prime factors in the price of everything else going up. I mean, energy is one of those things that folks take for granted because it is everywhere. But since it's everywhere, you know, when the price of gasoline or diesel goes up, you know, that increases the cost for what it takes to deliver items to the store. That gets passed down to the consumers. You know, that increases the price of just filling up to go to the office every day. So, given that it underpins everything, any increase in the price of fuel is going to be felt in your pocket. Now, the reasons for this, probably not what people in D.C. like to hear, but there are things going on in the world that have nothing to do with, you know, D.C. politics or policy. But the main reason for it, we had a major pandemic in this country and around the world about a year ago. And at that time, if you recall, basically everybody stopped going to work or to school or flying to vacation. There were economic shutdowns either imposed by different governments or just kind of, you know, occurring naturally as people were worried about, you know, going into crowds. And all of that economic inactivity meant that the price of oil just crashed.
Wall Street skidded again on oil today. The Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ all took major hits as a global glut in oil supply and low demand for fuel sent stock prices plummeting.
If you recall, there was a time when oil prices almost hit zero and, you know, for a brief second went negative. So at that time, oil companies were like, good Lord, you know, why are we even producing this anymore? And they started plugging in wells. So the investors started walking away from the industry saying, it's not worth it. You're just burning through cash and we're not getting anything back for it. So when the industry crashed last year, you know, there's been fewer investors willing to lend money to get things going again. So a lot of these companies now, what they're doing is they're saying, okay, we're going to come back up. We're going to start drilling again, but we're going to drill at a slower rate because we want to use less money to put out new drills. And instead, we're going to take that money and do stock buybacks or to, you know, increase our dividends to investors. So while demand is picking up, as more people get shots in their arms, they're opening stores up, people are traveling again, oil demand is kind of, you know, back to where it was almost pre-pandemic, but there's been less oil produced at the same rate. So I think U.S. oil production's back to like, you know, more than 90% of what it had been before the pandemic took traction, but it's still not, you know, perfectly in line. So that's driven up the cost of oil, basically, which then brings up the price of gasoline.
So when things shut down, it brought down the price of oil and it sort of scared off investors and they stopped producing as much. And now people want oil again, but they don't really have as much of it. So that's why the price is up.
Almost. People wanted less oil, so things shut down because of that. And because investors are a little bit wary of throwing money at the industry, and it had been wary before the pandemic hit, companies are taking a little bit longer to get back, you know, to where they were. Also, remember, I mean, it's a lot quicker to lay off people than it is to hire them back. And that's another reason. We kept hearing before about how, you know, just to get oil delivered, you know, to your gas station takes truck drivers. Well, if you remember when the Colonial Pipeline got hacked earlier this year, that was a big problem where trucking companies said they just didn't have enough people on staff anymore to kind of meet the demand to get the gasoline from the storage tanks to the gas station. So that's just an example of, like, you know, when people say supply chain, you know, this is a specific example where the supply chain was broken down. You just did not have enough people to move stuff around.
So this seems like something that's, like, very sort of economic, not necessarily political, mm-hmm. but we've seen a bunch of criticism of President Biden over this. This has kind of become a Republican attack line, something we've seen covered in right-wing media outlets a lot, you know, criticizing Biden over the rise of prices at the pump. How warranted is that, given all of the economic trends behind this that you just outlined? Is there blame that can and should be placed on the president here?
No, and it's, you know, there's very few things the government can do to move oil prices one way or the other. It's basically like there's a couple big things they could do. You know, they could, you know, get rid of the sanctions on Iranian oil. That would bring a lot more oil to the market. They could, you know, basically start a war that would drive up the price of oil. But kind of short of that, there's very few things that would give the market a sustained movement one way or the other. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm has floated this in recent weeks, that they'll sell some oil from the government's, you know, strategic stockpile. Would only have, like, a short-term impact. It wouldn't do much to bring, you know, relief for more than like a month at a time. And, you know, what we've been talking about recently, all this is going to start, you know, dissipating as soon as oil prices go down by like a dollar. I mean, a lot of it's kind of like a political, you know, dog pile. But as soon as prices at the pump start lowering, you're going to see a lot of the white hot burning energy kind of fade out.
When do you think we could see prices going down? I mean, you laid out how sort of little at the end of the day the federal government can do. What will change this situation, and when might we see the situation change?
Well, they say in the oil industry, like, the quickest cure for high prices is high prices. So, you know, what happens is as prices, you know, stay elevated, people find ways to kind of consume less, and then prices start to fall. I think the International Energy Agency, the multilateral group that's kind of like the consumer counterpart to OPEC, the oil producing group, they said in a report they're expecting prices to start falling within a matter of weeks. So, like, even something like that, you know, just a signal to the market that people are expecting prices to fall could actually, you know, become self-fulfilling, and you could see prices start to ease. Gasoline prices seem to have plateaued recently. We're out of the summer driving season. We're getting into winter where people just move around less. So from reading the tea leaves, it seems to me that, you know, if we stay on the course we're on and there's no other big surprises, we'll see prices just kind of fade out a little bit. I don't know if we'd go back to, like, you know, the $20 a barrel oil price we saw at the beginning of the pandemic. But then again, I don't think it's going to be 80 that much longer. And I think the trend upward has kind of stalled quite a bit.
Ben Lefebvre, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Also today, Pfizer is formally petitioning the FDA for an emergency use authorization of its antiviral coronavirus treatment. The move comes 2 weeks after the company reported trial results showing the treatment cuts the risk of hospitalization and death from the disease by 89%. availability of an oral medication that can treat COVID symptoms while keeping most patients out of the hospital could be a game changer for the course of the pandemic. The FDA is also considering an EUA application from Merck for an antiviral drug, creating the prospect of two at-home coronavirus treatments being available, potentially in a matter of weeks. And the Senate is giving the green light to a key climate official at the Agriculture Department after a delay. On Tuesday, senators voted 76-19 to confirm Robert Bonney for Undersecretary of Farm Production and Conservation at USDA, a post that oversees sweeping farm subsidies, crop insurance, and climate-related programs. Bonney currently serves as Deputy Chief of Staff and Senior Climate Advisor to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and was nominated for the post in April. But various lawmakers have held up the nomination. Some Republicans have raised concerns that the USDA is overstepping its authority in its efforts to address climate change. Bonney has been a key force in driving those efforts. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts, and also check out some of our other shows, like Politico Energy, which features stories from energy reporters like Ben Lefebvre every day. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.